Hello, this is Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and today my guest is Dal Sanders. Hello, Dal. How are you?
I'm okay, Scott.
Well, we are here today, and this is May 27th, and I might first of all just point out that we are having our annual barbecue for the Houston Area Magicians, and a pretty good group of almost 50 people here, and all from Houston, however, that Dal had come down from Dallas, kind of on sad occasion, and this happens to be something we just recently learned about the tragic passing of our good friend Sheree Sanders, and she had worked with you for a long time, I know, Dal.
Yes, Sheree and I have worked together off and on for, gosh, probably over 15 years. We've done a couple of tours together, and we've remained great friends, and she's also my my partner in crime at most magic conventions I go to.
Yeah.
She, even though we both have the same last name, we're not related, although most people in magic always thought that we were. In fact, last year at Magic Live, someone was, we were hanging out, and my wife also was at Magic Live, and so this one person said, "Well, Dal, I thought you and Sheree were married." And Sheree just looked up and said, "Oh, hell no." And the poor girl looked a little confused, and she said, "But aren't you two still a couple?" And at that point, Sheree just kind of looked at me, and we said in unison, "Ew." While Sheree and I weren't actually related, we were very much like brother and sister,
right, yes. Exactly. Kind of joined at the hip. Now, you said you worked together, and she'd been a box jumper for you or another and she kind of did everything, did she?
She absolutely did. She we did a couple of tours with her as box jumper, and then I did the Magic Mania tour that had three magicians in it. Mm-hmm. Myself, Brian Nordstrom, and Sheree also had her own spot. Now, she still did the boxes with me.
Yeah.
But she held her own with comedy magic on stage, too, and actually took the spotlight from me a couple of times.
Now, when you were traveling, you used it around Texas, like for
schools? Oh, no, this was all over the United States.
Tell me about some of those.
Well, let's see. This was her first national tour.
Okay.
And she didn't know what to expect, and I had toured this area across the Midwest and the Montana, Dakotas area, too, quite a bit, and had built up quite a following. And I was kind of used to it. Well, one day we're sitting in the dressing room, and Sheree comes barging in. Well, you know, that's Sheree always barged into a room. She didn't just...
She made an entrance, let me
she
just say
made
that.
An entrance, absolutely.
Everywhere she went, didn't matter. She went to the bathroom, I'm sure. You
know? So she entered the room, as Sheree would do, and said, "I was just looking out the window of my dressing room." I said, "Oh, good. Great."
Yeah.
"The people are wrapped around the building." And I said, "What?" And in fact, yes, people had backed her up, were in line all the way around, circling the entire theater,
wow,
the entire block of theater, just to get in the show. Now, this was, again, in, I think it was Cedar Rapids or Cedar Falls, somewhere, one of those Iowa towns that start with Cedar.
Yeah.
And that night, for some reason, I got to the autograph table before anybody else,
mm-hmm,
including any audience members, except for one woman and her three children.
Yeah.
Two of her three children were totally engulfed in chicken pox.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, "What are you
doing here?
Yeah. She said, "Well, Dal, we've seen you every year for 5 years." And I'm going like, here's a poster, here's a magic kit. Get out of here before anybody else.
We'll send you a video.
I came down
with
chicken pox.
Oh, my goodness.
Before the end of the tour. This was like in the middle of the tour, the last week of the tour.
Yeah.
I was as sick as a dog.
Did anybody else in the crew get it?
No.
Just you.
But Sheree took care of me the entire way. I mean, you know.
Gave you chicken soup.
All I did was I got up, I went and performed,
yeah,
and I didn't break out until after the tour was over. And I didn't know why I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Sheree didn't know why I was sick. I thought I had already been exposed to chicken pox.
Right.
With all the school shows and everything I do.
I would think, yeah, because you're doing how many a year? You do a couple hundred, don't you?
I do about 300 or 400 school shows a year.
Right.
So the most I've ever done in a year is 704.
Yep. Holy cow.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a record.
That seems to be a record. Now, Sheree was doing a lot of school shows, mm-hmm, as well.
Yes.
And she, as I understand, was doing shows like on bullying. Or had some sort of a theme here recently.
Absolutely. She was doing an anti-bully show, and she was actually using a routine of mine in the show, and
mm-hmm,
and she was doing a really, really good job. She just had a natural affinity with kids. Kids yeah. just liked her. Well, everybody just liked her. I mean, you know,
sure.
I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Sheree except, whoa, who is that? And that's about as negative as it got.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, she just kind of was a whirlwind of energy.
And a charismatic personality, yes. I'd say, too, that seemed to... She was so friends with so many magicians, and I think that was because it's hard not to be a friend of hers.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the things I'm going to miss most about her.
Yeah.
Sheree, I'm not really all that outgoing. I mean, you know, I've got my act, and I do my act, but I've never been a real outgoing person. And I'd go to conventions before Sheree, and I'd, you know, take my customary seat in the back of the room, and I would talk to my two or three or four or five
friends.
And that was it. Well, Sheree took it upon herself to make sure that I knew people. And she, I don't know why she decided me, but she just decided... This guy needs to meet people.
Yeah.
And so we'd be going down through a room, and she'd say, okay, see that guy over there? And I'd say, yeah, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. You need to go meet him. I don't know him. Well, let me introduce you. And whether she knew the person or not, she'd introduce him, and she'd get the conversation going, and then she'd just kind of back off. I met more people like that. Some of my best friends in magic now.
They come through Sheree.
I know because of Sheree. Everybody from Ariane Black to all kinds of people.
Right.
Kevin James, you know, I know those people because I know Sheree. And Sheree decided that, for whatever reason, I needed to leave my seat in the back of the room and get to know these people. And, you know, I'm going to be lost at the next convention I go to.
And now you're from Dallas, and she's lived in Houston for as long as I've known her. Mm-hmm. And so how did you guys first meet?
We met through John Schrock.
Oh, sure, okay.
Again, John Schrock and the Tucson Magic Club are... Mm-hmm. You know, a whole club of Sheree's, as a matter of fact. They're
all great
people,
guys, yeah.
And Cindy and my two sons and I, my sons were very, very small, and we had gone down to Galveston for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to be on the beach. I think it was a Memorial Day weekend, and here we are on Memorial Day.
Fine.
And so we're coming back, and John said, yeah, you need to stop off and meet Sheree. And I'm going like, I don't know this person. And, you know, John's very much like Sheree.
Yes.
Knows everybody.
Right.
He says, well, you got to stop off. You're coming through town. You have to stop off and have dinner. Well, the minute Sheree and I met, it's like, okay, we have the same last name. Maybe we really are related. Now I know she married into that last name.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like an instant friendship, and it lasted.
Because she had been doing a lot of stage illusions anyhow. I guess that's kind of what she was wanting to do. And she'd worked with James Austin Banner for a number of years and then decided, hey, I can do that. I don't need to be in the box. I can be out of it and
that's
doing this kind of magic then, too. And so, like with you, that she was doing both, in the box and then out, you said, doing a comedy turn as well.
Mm-hmm. And she would do stage comedy magic. And sometimes I would be the one who would, you know, be the thing. We actually did like the subtrunk in reverse instead of you know, it ended up, you know, me being
inside.
Yeah, so you know, just the way we did things.
Did you share a lot of ideas and everything? I assume with that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, school shows are one of the things that I work on the most, and I came down several times, and you know, we'd spend the weekend just talking about shows and how to present this or how to present that. And And she always had some great ideas, and she always had fantastic props.
Mm-hmm. I mean, beautifully made, or
the newest and greatest thing out.
Yeah.
She had, and she'd say, "Well, here's the new stuff. I don't know what to do with it." And I'd look and say, "Where did you get this?" And some magician just decided she needed it, and it was his prop, so he'd send it to her. And I'm going like, he gave you this? He said,
yeah.
She said, yeah. I don't know why, really. I don't even know what to do with it. So we would work out something, and and you know, a couple of things. She would come up and say, okay, Dal, that's really good, but you need to do this with your show, and cue it up a little bit. She was a lot of fun and
pretty creative,
very creative, and just so much energy.
You know, I've seen her hypnosis show, which she had started to do the last several years, and
yeah,
she was
too.
Continuing to develop that and the different lines and everything she did. She had her own unique take, I think, on that as well.
Well, I think I think she understood the power of being a woman.
Exactly, and she used that to her advantage.
And she totally used that to her advantage.
Sure. There are not a lot of female hips out there.
No, she did. And same way with magic. She didn't try to compete with the men. Mm-hmm. She tried to be, and she wasn't like going for the novelty of being a woman magician. Mm-hmm. But she was a woman. She knew how to use, you know, I always laugh. The first thing little girls learn how to do is cut their eyes and say, "But Daddy." And Cherie knew how to do that.
Yeah.
And did that often. Mm-hmm. In the middle of her show, she was, in a lot of ways, she was a lot like Lucille Ball. Mm-hmm. With her comedy, a lot like Carol Burnett with her comedy.
Right.
And just a very unique personality, and she is really going to be missed.
What do you think was her favorite type of magic to perform?
Well, she wouldn't say this.
I'm asking you.
But I think her absolute favorite magic to perform would be kid show magic.
Really?
Especially for little girls.
Little girls in particular,
yes.
Interesting.
Because... you know, I, as you know, I came down and I've been going through her stuff.
Mm.
And even the giveaways that she has, 80% of the giveaways that she had for the birthday child are special things, little princess magic kits. Or
for little girls.
For little girls. And I think more than anything, she would like to have been thought of as a good role model in magic for little girls.
And so that's how you think that she would like best to be remembered?
Absolutely. She was a great hip, had a great hip act. She was fun to work with illusions and just very, very funny comedy magician. But the little girls, I think they hold a special place in her heart, and I know that they hold her in high esteem, too.
Do you have a particular story that, when you think of her, that comes to mind that you could share?
Really, it's not a particular story, but it's something that I saw over and over and over again on tour.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be signing the autographs and everything, and at the end of the autograph thing, she would be on the ground in her gown, because she always finished the show in this really beautiful gown, but she'd be on the ground, cross-legged, talking to little girls, showing them a little something.
Mm-hmm. Trying to inspire them.
Trying to inspire them. And she would have 5 or 6 or 10 little girls all around her go, "Ooh, ah, ooh." And they'd be petting her and like rubbing her shoulder and things like that. And it's not a particular story, as I said, but it's what I saw from her over and over and over again.
Right. Well, hopefully there'll be a lot of... young girls who will grow to be women magicians, you know, in the future then as well, who've been inspired by her and look back, you know, then at her as well. Yeah, she'll certainly be missed, and she was far too young at 51 to have gone with this brain aneurysm. So
It was just a year ago at the last World Magic Seminar that they had that she turned 50, and we threw her a midnight birthday party.
Oh, how fun.
And everybody in magic showed up,
and
we all had cake and just partied with Cherie till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's kind of like what you're talking about now, of having a memorial then perhaps at the SAM.
Yes, several people, Ariane in particular, and several other people have suggested that we have some sort of memorial or broken wand service at the SAM convention
in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas,
when again?
In July.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I'm brain dead right now.
No, I understand, sir.
I got to thinking about it, and the most appropriate time, you know, I said, well, we'll need to get a room. And I thought, no, we don't really need to get a room to do this in. What we need to do is do it at the bar, and we'd have to do it at midnight, because that's where Cherie would be.
Right.
At midnight at the bar with all her friends hanging out, and she'd be the queen bee. Sitting there with a circle of chairs all around her.
Do you think that she would actually be doing that? Or I cannot see her sitting. She's always getting up and flitting. You know, she was
that's
like,
true.
Like a butterfly, you know.
But she would have a chair. She would have a chair.
Okay.
She would have, or a throne in her case. She would have had a place to go sit every now and then. But, yeah, you're right. She would be flitting from group to group.
Talking to everybody and making everybody feel. If she sees someone who doesn't feel like they're a part of it or they're outside the group, she'd keep bringing them in or something, you know.
Absolutely.
She had that way about her, that's for sure. Well, Dal, thank you very much. I know that we're all going to miss her.
I miss her already.
Yeah. Appreciate your time.
Thanks
a lot. Oh, one other quick question, sir. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. Mm-hmm. What is your magic word?
Ah, my magic word.
What is you live your life by?
Believe.
Believe. That's great. Very good. That was Dallas Sanders. This is Scott Wells for The Magic Word. Scotty out.